Maybe I'm weird. I don't know. Apparently I'm an old man, but I don't think so. I have a Snuggie. I've had it for so long that I think I remember when I got it, but I'm not entirely sure. I think I got it at a gift exchange in like 2008 or roughly thereabouts, but it might be even older, and I love it, and I wear it all the time. And apparently I look like an old man because I'll sit on the couch watching TV wearing the Snuggie, and I think it's awesome. Am I out to lunch?
Well, we all know you're watching, wearing your Snuggie, watching the Leafs. Not the Leafs, the Flames lose. Dang, I've been gone for too long. Welcome to Mashup 97. There's only one guy. We're going to stick with that number.
S&T McDavid.
Connor freaking McDavid.
I said it first. I said
freaking McDavid.
Tikkanen.
Snuggie and all, Connor McDavid. How's Tuz doing on this fine... Well, Monday night as we record, everybody knows that. Tuesday for all you fine listeners who wake up and listen to this show.
Tuz is good. Sean, you apparently got better.
Yeah, I didn't die. I do appreciate you and Vince Crow T having a little fun at my expense. You know, side little inside joke. Somebody wanted Vince back. And I guess we have an alter ego. Either way, Vance Crowe, shout out to you. Somewhere you're driving in St. Louis, you did a great job. I thought it was a nice little change of pace. Maybe would that be the right way to put it?
Yeah, change of pace, slightly different set of perspectives. He had some interesting things to talk about from the outside in. I swear to God, folks, sometimes I feel like Sean's still with me. I feel like I can still hear his voice.
Well, let's start here. Coots 2, 757 days. That's as of today. So that's probably the big thing to, point out. 757 days. That's getting, well, I don't know. Do I even have the words? I don't know. What do we say at this point? At some point, they're going to get out. Then they're going to sue the pants. Then at some point, they're going to sue the pants off the government.
I certainly fucking hope so.
And get a big freaking stack of cash.
$10.5 million.
That's kind of what I think. But right now, I think everybody would just like to see them get out. 757 days for the Coots, too. Anything before we get rolling? Otherwise, I've been kind of like salivating. Like, here we go. I'm going to put you through the paces tonight.
Well, I mean, we got a big show, but that's all our intro notes. Let's get cracking.
Okay.
So here's our first one. So we're going to do this thing that Vance and I tried out last week. Sean has not seen these headlines yet.
So am I pulling them up or are you pulling them up?
No, I'm going to pull them up. I want you to just be seeing it on the screen for the first time.
All right. I've never seen these before, folks. Bottom of the barrel barrage. Former Prime Minister Kim Campbell called Conservative leader Pierre Poilievre a liar and a hate monger and suggested she won't vote for his party in the next federal election. If you're wondering who the heck Kim Campbell is, you're probably around my age. Otherwise, you might remember she remains the only female prime minister in Canadian history. Under her leadership, the governing Progressive Conservatives were reduced to just two seats in the House of Commons in 1993 when Jean Chrétien's Liberals won the first of three majorities. And so,
does
that move the needle at all? Does anybody really care?
No. Honestly, this woman... When she was elected prime minister, when she became prime minister, she bought a jug of milk. And when she was no longer prime minister, that milk still hadn't even gone bad yet. That's how long she was in office for.
4 months. Four months.
Yeah.
4 months. All right. Give me the next one. Let's do this. Madonna takes the wrong stand. Madonna tries. So there's a video going around social media right now. Okay. And in it, Madonna's on stage, and she tries shaming a fan for sitting down during one of her concerts, only to find out the fan is in a wheelchair. Quoted, she says, "What are you doing sitting down over there? What are you doing sitting down?" And then she walks over there. They put a spotlight on it, and she's like, "Oh, okay. politically incorrect. Sorry about that. I'm glad you're here.
Yeah, so that was a bit of a mistake. It kind of reminded me of the time that Ryan Seacrest tried to high-five a blind guy, and the blind guy obviously didn't put his hand up to reciprocate the high-five because he didn't see it coming.
Whoops. Whoops.
And so, anyway, Madonna continues to be an embarrassment.
Haiti cooking people on the fires of anarchy. This one we were talking about just before we started, this has been a pretty wild thing to watch. Haiti is in deep, deep trouble. It reads, the country is essentially being run by gangs. They have taken over the capital and the U.S.-backed government has left the city to gangs. The prime minister of Haiti is stranded in Puerto Rico, and the United States has also evacuated their embassy and left Marines there to guard the embassy from rebels. There's some meetings taking place in Jamaica right now as they try and figure out what on earth they're going to do with Haiti as it's being overran by gangs. One of them who's nicknamed Barbecue.
Yeah, the head of the main gang down there, I guess, is nicknamed Barbecue because supposedly he likes eating people, although the information is a little bit tenuous right now. We'll see if we can find something definitive later on. Other interesting note, about 3 weeks ago, Canada sent Haiti $123 million.
No big deal. That's just
up in smoke.
Gone. Yep. Yes. It disappeared. Just a cool $123 million. No big deal. Mm-hmm. Public sector bubble needs to burst. Canada's labor market is getting a helping hand from population growth as the economy added 41,000 jobs in February. Statistics Canada also reported on Friday that the unemployment rate ticked up to 5.8%. Job gains, which were driven by full-time employment, were spread across several industries in the service-producing sector with the strongest growth in accommodation and food services. Over the last year, Canada's population grew by 1 million, just over, and change, people, while employment rose by 368,000 jobs.
Now, if the 1 million new people was commensurate with the existing population, that would have been about twice. That's about half the jobs you would expect. And even within that job growth in Canada, half of them are working for the government. So they don't even count. Sorry, guys. But I don't think we should count public sector towards employment numbers. And this is a cool graph. This is really interesting.
So for the people watching, it's Margot Rubin on Twitter. Canada's federal hiring under Trudeau versus former prime ministers. 52% of all jobs created in Canada since the start of the pandemic have been in the public sector. No wonder our productivity has been shrinking. The red line for all you people watching is Justin Trudeau. It's
far and away it absolutely eclipses everybody else's numbers.
You know what's crazy? The bottom one. You know I'm assuming you know who the bottom one. That's
Stephen
that's
Harper.
That's Chrétien.
That's Chrétien.
Yes. Yeah. Oh. Yeah. He was one of the I would love for a listener to help me out here because I don't know my history on the old politics side of everything. But I'm sure when he won, he had to do a whole bunch of cutting. And he was one of the liberal leaders who actually cut jobs and cut spending and cut everything. And anyway, I thought that was pretty cool. Here's the food professor saying, not a great indicator for Canada. The gap in GDP per capita between Canada and the United States is widened by 106% since 2015. That's another graph to keep your eye on.
That's not that they make 106% more than us, which is probably getting pretty damn close to it. It's that the gap has widened by 106%.
Correct.
So they're vastly outperforming us as a nation.
Next one. Canadian polls are garbage. Well, here, I'm just going to show you said polls, okay?
You said you were just going to read it.
I'm going to show it. Those who say that their trust in X has worsened in the last 3 years, here they just list off pretty much everything, and everything trust sucks in everything. Yeah. Groceries down 77%. Mainstream media, 56%. Okay.
Here's the thing, though. If you had zero trust in, say, something like the government, which is the right amount of trust to have, you would not be able to say that your trust in them has decreased or increased. It stays the same. And so without any perspective on that question, the numbers are meaningless. All they're saying is that they haven't moved, how much they've moved from where they were before.
All I want to know, too, is in this poll. It says, do you prefer smaller government with lower taxes, fewer services, larger government with higher taxes, more services? Who the jackasses are that voted for 41%? 41% said they want larger government and higher taxes. Who's saying that?
Well, that's the middle class and those are, who are working hard to join it, which is the roughly 32-33% of Canadians who work in the public sector.
And the final poll was support for your neighbor being able to rent out a room in their residence on sites like Airbnb or VRBO. Supports at 41%, opposed 36, unsure 22, and 222 minutes had the great answer of correct answer is none of my business.
That's exactly it.
Mostly.
Yeah, so Canadian polls are garbage, mostly.
Now's polling shows Pierre Poilievre's Conservatives would capture 43% of the vote if an election were held today, while the Liberals would get 23%, the NDP 21%, the Bloc 6%, and the Green Party 4%. I'm going to pull up the image here. This is what Nanos is showing. Oop, and I switched. There you go. Right there, too.
Trudeau is getting absolutely shellacked.
Yeah. Shellacked. Can I ask a really dumb question? I'm going to ask a dumb question.
Do it. I promise I won't even mock you.
That's still not a majority government, though, is it?
It's not. So it's whoever gets the most seats would form a majority government. So it's not as though you need 51%.
Right. You got to get the right amount of seats, right? Thank you. That was a partial dumb question. I just looked at it and I'm like, the Liberal NDP right now is running our government into the, running our country right into the garbage.
It's a plurality of support, but it's not a majority of support.
Thank you. Okay. Thank you
but
for clearing that up for me.
A majority of seats.
I'm looking at that going, they still have 44.7% of the people still like the way this country is being ran. Somehow.
It's interesting, though. I mean, you know, we always want to talk about parties and stuff like that. And, you know, I was listening to somebody recommended another podcast I listened to, and it was basically like a Liberal person, a Conservative person, an NDP person. And they were talking like it was, you know, the sports desk at TSN and not a single person. It'd be like if everybody on that panel was George Strombopoulos, that brief moment when he was on Hockey Night in Canada, where none of them actually know anything about any of the fundamentals. They're just saying, rah, rah, my team, rah, rah, that team.
Fair. But at times, I feel like that person. I'm like, wait a second. If I do the math on this, they still hold the key, you know, the keys to the mansion. NDP, Liberals.
Okay.
2025 cannot come fast enough.
We're going to move to Afghanistan now.
Come, Mr. Taliban, tally me banana.
What a weird thing to say, Sean.
Nearly 3 years into the Taliban takeover, Afghanistan is the only country in the world where girls beyond grade 6 are banned from attending schools and universities. It goes on with a whole list of things women get screwed over with. Okay. And if we flip back to September of 2020, Afghanistan has secured a seat at the United Nations Commission on the Status of Women for the first time in its history. So,
yes, and I'm sure you'll recall, and probably a bunch of listeners will, in 2021 when Canada and the U.S. pulled out and left behind a whole bunch of stuff, a whole bunch of people, and a whole bunch of dead Marines. And you had a bunch of people saying like, oh, you know, this is going to be a really positive thing for the citizens there, and especially for the women in that country. And we were basically called racist for saying, you guys are on crack. This is fucking horrible. And now everyone's kind of coming around. We were right the whole time, just like COVID.
Am I not a benevolent God? I don't mind this not seeing the headlines. You know, for the listener who's never watched this show before, for people who have been here from the beginning, that you'll understand my confusion as a headline comes up. But normally I know the headlines at least kind of, sort of, like I've seen them. I've never seen any of these. Two's hid them from me the whole time. So you can sense my chuckle and like, I got to make sure I'm reading it correct. Finance Minister Chrystia Freeland says the federal government will cap the annual alcohol excise tax increase on beer, spirits, and wine just to 2%. We're going to allow it to go up 2% this year for an additional 2 years.
Despite their official inflation numbers for last year being 4.7%. Yeah, you know, even though they were saying, oh, yeah, we managed to keep it for a few weeks under 2.9, which is the benchmark. And honestly, if you look at the cost of anything, there's nothing that only costs 4.7% more than it did last year.
Give us some votes, twos. We're only going to keep it to 2% this year. It's not a big deal. It's 2%.
Oh, we're so nice. You should hold a fucking parade in our honor and get some goddamn balloons and some helium or maybe some of that hydrogen we're trying to use for the power companies and just tell us how awesome we are that we're only increasing the alcohol tax
by
2%.
Any chance April 1st comes and they don't up the carbon tax? Any chance?
No. No. The problem is that they've committed so hard to this that they're not going to cancel the carbon tax. I'm guessing that leading up to the election, they're going to find more ways to have carve outs, and they're going to come up with interesting excuses as to why they're called different things, but they're going to try and carve out as much of that as possible.
If you didn't know, folks, April 1st, a whole lot of shenanigans and tomfoolery is going to go along with taxes going up and MPs getting raises.
Their annual raises. Franco talked about it on your show last week and did an amazing job of it, I must say.
Lee from Manitoba said it was like 37 minutes of sadness on a Friday, so I got to remember not maybe to do that on Friday, you know. Bad drivers explained. Many Ontario driving instructors are willing to be paid to help falsify documents saying students took driving classes when they didn't. And this is a CBC Marketplace investigation has found. Marketplace called 20 driving school instructors in Ontario who posted online ads offering beginner driver education lessons. 14 of them, or 70%, offered to help break licensing rules.
Yeah, they basically, and they asked to be paid in cash. A fee to fill out this form saying that you'd taken it, and they wanted to be paid cash for it. They were literally just asking for fucking bribes. So, you know what? The next time someone in Canada is worried about the cost of insurance, point at this.
You know, I was actually
how much cheaper it is in Afghanistan where they don't let women drive.
So literally there's like this deep dive 15-minute video where they got cameras all over this guy in a parking lot, and they got a they're stinging this guy on a couple $100 on, you know, making sure basically cheating the system on how you get your driver's license. I'm like, imagine if they took this approach to, I don't know, say this thing we lived through, COVID pandemic. I don't know. Maybe if they took that crazy same sort of thing to maybe like MAID. I don't know. That's just crazy talk. Yeah. Maybe I shouldn't think
doing,
like that.
Doing actual investigative journalism into things that are big deals.
I don't know. Like I was watching. I'm like, this is fascinating. Like, they are really upset about a guy making a couple bucks cheating the system on a driver's license. I looked at it and I went, how about we talk about all the drugs? Oh, wait, we're going to talk about that later. In BC, making itself into the criminal underworld. And you're like,
if they're going to go undercover and try and break some big fucking story, why don't they try to propose as a government contractor in Ottawa and see how much fucking bank they can make?
13 Marines. Last night, Steve, and I should have read this name. Is it Nico? Nikoi? I guess the Florida Congressman Brian Mast was arrested and charged by Capitol Police after heckling Joe Biden during his address to the nation. His son, Lance Corporal Kareem, and I apologize, Nikoi, was killed in Biden's botched Afghanistan withdrawal. He shouted 13 Marines and then was escorted and then charged.
This is a guy whose son, this is a Gold Star dad. His son was one of the 13 Marines that got killed in the evacuation of Afghanistan. And we haven't forgotten. I get the fact that it's another fucking country, but we still haven't forgotten. And I'm sure they haven't either. And so this guy is heckling Joe Biden. Essentially, he's calling out the guy who's the reason why his son died.
Correct.
And he got arrested for it. So fuck Biden. Let's go, Brandon.
Heat pumps up electricity bills. When I don't know why that's funny. When Josh Fever opened his most recent power bill, he felt both stumped and defeated. The energy charges from Nova Scotia Power total $1,591 for the period spanning December 13th to February 14th. For those of you at home, that's 2 months. That's not including taxes on the additional $773 he still owes from his previous bill. Fever said he's on the brink of being disconnected, which had him left him looking for a second job. And they lived on a second-story apartment with a heat pump. And then the story went on to break on more and more people.
There was another one who had a house with four heat pumps in it.
Yes, woman. And her bill was through the roof.
Yeah. Go figure. Four heat pumps. All right. Circling back to this Afghanistan 13 Marines thing. Barb Gokel says, and his second son was so very upset over the loss of his brother, he committed suicide. That family lost both sons.
I did not know that. Thanks, Barb.
So, yeah, I don't know. It's interesting how poorly this seems to be going. All these new heat pumps getting put in everywhere. Oh, you want a heat pump? Here's a heat pump. But you're going to have to deal with the power bill that goes with it. I imagine it's going to be a lot better. This would be a great question for Blaine and Joey. But, you know, what kind of power consumption you see versus heat introduced?
Well, we know Blaine tomorrow morning, early riser, is going to be listening to this. Blaine, when you hear this, give us a text and let us know.
Yeah.
We'll be interested.
So
Either way, bills are going up.
It's kind of just passing mention in the CBC article. Oh yes, and they have heat pumps, and that's probably why it's so goddamn expensive. But yeah, we should totally do that and then turn our whole grid to wind and solar. I can't see what could ever go wrong.
Governor terminates obesity. I still can't figure out what this story is about, but as you can tell, there's a pool table. It says, day 646 of taking my life back. That's Dave Dana. There was an alligator under his pool table. Also a fighter plane, office goals, never give up. And then if you scroll down, it shows him losing a ton of weight.
He's lost a ton of weight. And keep it on that picture here for a minute. So Arnold Schwarzenegger sees his inspiring posts on his journey. Reaches out to him. They talk back and forth on Twitter a little bit. And then Arnold Schwarzenegger has him go meet up with him and work out. And then Schwarzenegger takes him to his office afterwards. And he says, oh, isn't it cool that he's got a fighter jet and a gator? Motherfucker, that's the Harrier from True Lies. And that's the gator from Eraser. You know, your luggage. And that's the Harrier.
Oh, yeah.
I remember the Harrier.
Yeah.
And then, yep. Yeah. So that's the one from True Lies. That's the scale model. Interesting tidbit. The actual Harrier from True Lies is that plane that got wrecked when Thor was fighting the Hulk in the helicarrier in the first Avengers movie. Okay. The point is that this guy isn't even a fucking fan. So good on him for doing this. But you're out of your depth.
Who's wanted to talk about movies so much that he snuck away in? I tell you what, kudos to you, sir. Side note, have you seen the new Dune?
No, I haven't. Have you?
No, I haven't. I want to.
Okay. Well, me too. Great conversation.
You're welcome. And if anyone's seen it in the show notes, I would love to hear if it's any good. TikTok, motherfucker.
No spoilers.
A man who spent decades in prison before starting a new chapter as a high-profile advocate for criminal justice reform has been arrested.
Oh.
Am I soon? Am I long? Oh, you're going NDP. You're going NDP? You want NDP on TikTok?
I missed the... I forgot to do a headline for that. Just go ahead with it.
All right. A man who spent... We got no headline. No headline. A man who spent decades in prison... before starting a new chapter as a high-profile advocate for criminal justice reform, has been arrested and charged in the brutal murder and dismemberment of a Bronx man. I'm going to pull up the picture before I read any further. If I can find it, here it is. Here he is. There you go. Okay.
There's him taking the blue bin out with the torso of the person that he dismembered.
Sheldon Johnson,
the head was found in the freezer.
Sheldon Johnson, 48, was arrested and charged with murder, manslaughter, criminal possession of a weapon, concealment of a human corpse on Thursday, according to the New York Police Department. You may recognize that name because he was just on Joe Rogan a month ago.
You won't recognize him because he's wearing a goofy disguise here.
When law enforcement officials visited the suspect's Harlem home, they discovered a human arm, legs, and a head with a gunshot wound stored in the freezer. Surveillance video also showed the suspect entering and exiting the victim's building wearing different disguises, at one point carrying a large blue bin. The official said the bin was found at a small's home with the torso inside.
At least the guy recycles. But yeah, this guy was literally on Joe Rogan a month ago talking about how good of a guy he was and how bad it was that he went to prison for 25 years for basically bullshit. And then he gets out, he goes on Joe Rogan, and I tried listening to it. It was annoying how there was this guy that was an advocate for justice reform who kept on just propping this dude up. So there's him and this Sheldon guy and this dude sitting there across from Joe, and the dude's just telling him how great of a guy he is, how great of a guy he is. And then
he goes and kills.
Yeah. So anyway, I'm guessing that Rogan's not going to have him back on.
I'm going to guess.
Yeah, like, the guy's done 2,000 episodes and change. He's bound to have a couple bad guests.
Yeah, I'm not upset with Rogan. I mean, what are you going to do? Yeah, TikTok. Yeah. TikTok, boys and girls. Here we go, okay? Here we go.
That's not what it says.
Here we go. Watch the dance moves.
This Jaggy thing making pasta. Saying how great it is.
What is that move? What is that move?
I don't know, like, what the move, you know, is. But
I think I might be voting MVP after that move. And a little.
Well, that's the deficits going up, the economy going down. Deficits up, economy down. Okay, so there's Jagmeet Singh trying to hold on.
Okay,
to relevance.
and then I'll show you
the next one.
Yeah.
So I'm just gonna narrate this a little bit. This is a beautiful East Indian woman putting on a whole shit ton of jewelry, and the whole thing is just a bunch of close-ups and zoom-ins and pans of all this ridiculous jewelry she's wearing. Her name, Gurkaran Sidhu, also known as Mrs. Jagmeet Singh. Not a great look for the leader of the socialist fucking party of
Canada. Tell you what, I like their TikToks better than listening to his press conferences. He does a little dance move. He might pick up a few NDP supporters. He you know, that little tune, he got me dancing on this side. Even with his little, I don't know what that is, but hey, it must be a little move I don't know anything about. I'm sure a few listeners out there are like, I didn't mind that little tune. And Jagmeet, you know, that didn't sound so bad. And then he'll open his mouth in a day, folks. No worries, and ruin it all.
Apparently, it was some pretty vulgar stuff in the actual song. I couldn't verify that, but somebody was saying on Twitter, they're like, here's what the words are. And it was pretty nasty.
In that song?
Yeah. Yeah. Kind of like a Ghetto Boys type thing.
I didn't mind the beat to it, too. Just saying. All right.
Okay.
I don't know if I buzzed you. There's the buzz.
You didn't.
State of the Union, indeed. Okay, we got a couple of clips here because, of course, Biden has his State of the Union address, and we'll see here. Okay, here we go.
Well, okay, yeah.
The pandemic no longer controls our lives. The vaccines that saved us from COVID are now being used to beat cancer, turning setback into comeback. That's what
Isn't
America
that
does.
Amazing?
That's what
I'll
America
tell you what,
does.
Sean. We really missed out. I had no idea that the vaccine cured cancer.
Because I'm investing in finding what was led by my Secretary of Agriculture, who knows more about this than anybody I know.
I bet you can't tell me what he says in the first 5 seconds there. Hey, whatever, how about a he, whatever, who did have Secretary
no,
of Agriculture?
He sounds like a drunk auctioneer. It's insane. Right. But I just, yeah. So apparently, here's the thing.
As for the vaccine.
No. Well, that's where I'm going with this. So you gotta listen to specifically what's being said, because politicians are tricky motherfuckers. All right, the vaccine that saved us from COVID are now being used to beat cancer. Yeah, they are beating cancer to the finish line.
Yes. I was just going to say, isn't it Pfizer, Moderna? One of them is using the technology they used in the middle of COVID to now attack cancer. That's what he's talking about. But well, I do like the joke in there, slipping in a little bit of turbo cancer, because we all know what's up. Mm-hmm. Apocalypse cow. Don't be surprised if you stop seeing bagged milk at the grocery store a few years from now. These are mostly I would first say most of us have no idea what the heck I'm talking about, unless you've lived in Ontario, because then I have seen it before,
or
and you're like
Quebec.
You're like, why bagged milk? These are mostly sold in Ontario, Quebec, and an Atlantic region. Bagged milk is point of pride for the few eastern provinces that stock it on their grocery shelves. Twos, what do you want to talk about with bagged milk possibly disappearing?
Well, I just think that anytime something interesting to do with the dairy cartel comes up, I feel like we need to talk about it. The funny thing that I really took away from this, though, is that the plastic bags, so they came about because it was easier to just do plastic bags than to retool the cartons when everything was switching from imperial to metric back in the day. And now, as it turns out, the single-use, disposable, evil, destroying the planet plastic bags, they did a breakdown of all the other different options for transporting and holding the milk, and it's the most environmentally sound one.
Yes. I did see that, and as my eyes glazed over once I got to the bottom of it, I was like, no, I can't do it. I can't do all these environmentally friendly, like, we're going to break, because the world has gone insane on that front.
Well, I mean, there's nothing wrong with trying to do things in an environmentally friendly sort of way.
I'm not disagreeing with that.
But
I'm not disagreeing with
that. The thing about
it
is, I love the fact that when they break it all down, they're like, the best option for the environment is the plastic.
Is the plastic.
Which is super fucking illegal.
I agree with you. It's just, we're doing such insane things in name of saving the planet. Like, it just, and everything, they're trying to stick it all back to it. I'm sorry. I can't handle it in every article. The Westlock effect. Voters in Huntington Beach have solidified a ballot measure that will ban the display of certain flags on city property. You might go, that sounds like Westlock, Alberta. Measure B was passed by 58% of voters, according to the latest tally by the Orange County Register of Voters. It prohibits the display of pride, breast cancer awareness, and religious flags, although it exempts city, county, and state flags, as well as the U.S. and Armed Forces flags from the ban.
Well, isn't it just nice that the goodness is spreading? That this thing that started off in quaint little Westlock, great town, spent a lot of time there over the years. And I'm pretty sure it's in Shane's riding too. But
is Westlock in Shane's riding?
I think it is, or it's right on the border. Either way,
I don't know if it is. I don't know if it is.
It's pretty close.
It's pretty close.
All right. Anyway, yeah, this thing, now it's going into the States a little bit, and other
California of all places too.
Well, here's the thing, is North California, and I don't know where Huntington Beach is, but from what I understand, North California hates the whole LA, San Francisco area so much that they've been wanting to separate for a while. And I can kind of appreciate where they're coming from, to be honest.
U.S. importing liberal-style politics. Mayor Tiffany Henyard is accused of using village money for personal reasons as Dalton's unpaid bills have piled up. Henyard has denied the allegations. During the meeting, Henyard vetoed a resolution passed by the village board to investigate her spending. I didn't know you could do that. We want to check into your spending. Nope. Not going to happen. There's nothing to see. There's nothing to see, and I'm going to be fully transparent, but you're not looking.
Exactly. It's the exact thing that we've been looking at with how the Liberals and the NDP last week shut down the investigation into the whole China Wuhan bat virus leak thing that just starts to stink more and more and more like it's the Winnipeg virus, not the Wuhan virus. And they're just like, oh, we voted, we're not going to investigate it.
Like, motherfucker, I still want to know what the fuck happened. So maybe figure your shit out. And so this is some lady in Illinois who did the exact same thing. Because as mayor, she gets a veto over whether investigation happens or not, regardless whether it involves her or not. It's a pretty
We had this like a giant worldwide pandemic happen. We want to look into the Winnipeg lab. Nope, not going to happen. But it's kind of looking like it came from there. Nope. We're going to call it Wuhan. That's what we're going to call it.
Yeah, it's okay. We'll give you guys a pass to call it the Wuhan virus.
Can you imagine if for 3 years it was called the Winnipeg virus?
Wow. At least, you know, the thing about it is that, you know, coming from a place like Canada, at least, you know, with the prevalence of white people here, we wouldn't have been called racist for doing it.
Man, I feel like that could go on a shirt somehow, you know? I believe in the Winnipeg virus, or the Winnipeg virus caused the pandemic. I don't know. There's something there. What do you got?
You're wearing a tinfoil beaver hat right now, Sean.
That's right. Maybe a tinfoil beaver, a hat.
That's what I just
said. Beaver with a tinfoil. Yeah. And that. Free market forsaken by functionaries. Where the heck am I going? Twos, did you skip me? Are we talking pills?
No, we're not talking pills. We're talking Danielle Smith.
Through Alberta's broadband strategy, the government is investing $390 million over 5 years in rural broadband services so Albertans can stay connected, improve digital literacy, support their livelihoods, and improve access to education, healthcare, and the global marketplace. The government of Canada has committed to matching that investment dollar for dollar for a total of $780 million to improve access to high-speed internet in rural, remote, and Indigenous communities. And Twos doesn't like it.
It's bullshit. So $112 million for 22,500 homes. Let's bring up the calculator. Oh, that works out to $5,000 per person. Now, if only there was an option available in the free market that could do it slightly better. Oh, what's this directly beside it? There's an offer from Starlink. They've got a deal for rural internet in Canada where you can get set up for $200.
Yeah, but Twos.
This is literally 1/25th of the cost, and it's already available. They could. This would be like a $5 million project, Sean. All they'd have to do is just everybody a check for $200.
You're talking too much sense right now, okay? You're not spending the money. We need to spend the money.
Conservative Party? What the hell?
Danielle Smith, we could have had Starlink for every farmer out there.
I feel like Rachel Notley would have only spent $4,800 on this per person. Jesus. Okay. Now I lost my spot. Well, it doesn't, because I switched over to Darren Ostapowicz, who showed up late, by the way. He says, Winnipeg virus shirt, yes. And so now I can't see where. Here we go. Here's the next one.
Organized crime embraces safe supply. This is like, you know, when you put Canada in 2024, this story just sums it up. Thousands of opiate pills obtained by prescription through a safe supply harm reduction program have been seized by police in Prince George, BC, after they were found to have been diverted to organized crime groups reselling them across Canada. Quoted, what we have seen in Prince George is people taking prescribed medication, some of which is dedicated as safe supply prescription drugs, and selling them to organized crime groups in exchange for more potent illicit drugs. The organized crime groups are then taking the prescription drugs and selling them interprovincially across Canada.
The government's just mad because other criminals are stealing from them. Like, we're supposed to be the only criminals doing this. What are you guys doing?
We're literally tax funding the drug problem in Canada right now. That's what we're doing.
Yep. Drug dealers all across Canada are selling the BC safe supply stuff. And our government's mad because they should be the only criminals.
Hey. Global news. Over the past 3 years, more people have left than entered. That is frankly a death spiral for the Canadian Armed Forces, We cannot afford to continue at that pace. We've got to do something differently. Blair said he asked military leaders to take a hard look on expanding eligibility for recruitment. Quoted, abolish outdated medical requirements where they are not meaningful and relevant. Create a probationary period to enroll new members, especially permanent residents, and streamline the security clearances process, he said.
That's not all that was in this article. Later on, it says, the reputational problem has been compounded by concerns about the presence of right-wing extremists and racism in the ranks, which a review said last year were factors, quote, repulsing new recruits. And there's a link. And if you follow that link, you get to this article. With widespread racism in Canadian military repulsing new recruits. And if I just go find and I type in the word right, there's only two instances of it on this entire page. One of them is where it says all rights reserved, and the other one is where it says copyright. They specifically, this is a global article that Global is referencing, and they're not even accurately describing what's in the article so that they can paint it as being a far right problem. Fuck Global News.
Next, Spain's army addresses the gender wage gap. Okay, this is great. Spanish soldiers are changing their gender from male to female to earn certain benefits only available to females, including higher pay and better sleeping quarters due to a self-identification law aimed at helping transgender people. Once again, this is another way to sum up 2024, folks. 41 men in Spain's North Africa autonomous city, Suedo, have made the drastic decision to change their gender on official documents from male to female since the so-called Lady Trans or Trans Law was implemented in March 2023. Of the men in Sueto who've changed their identity, only four have also legally changed their name. A majority of the now female soldiers have kept every other aspect of their life, including male genitalia, sexuality, and even their facial hair. That is gaming the system, folks.
That's not gaming the system. The system is set up to be gamed.
Thank you.
They literally went to them and they said, all right, we're going to pay women 15% more. That's the pay gap in the military in Spain is a 15% raise for the same job if you're a woman. And they said, but wait, all we need to do is just say that we're a woman and then we're legally.
We get it.
A woman, and then we get
it, because
right?
You can't argue with it in this world.
And then you're like, okay, well, I'm a woman now. And then
I'm identifying as a woman.
It's the easiest 15% raise you've ever gotten in your life. Of course, this is absolutely what should happen and needs to happen until
Chuck
this all
Jamie, two guests of the podcast, folks, who come on the military roundtable. I could just see Chuck and Jamie sitting there. You gonna go identify as a woman? No, I'm not gonna. Get a 15% pay raise. I could probably say I'm a girl for a few days. Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
And then they go. Right? Like, I mean, this is the most ridiculous thing ever.
Right? But, I mean, it's the same thing with being able to self-identify as indigenous and then getting special treatment for different things or being one of another host of minorities or even just bullshitting some, you know, debilitating thing and saying that you need special treatment for this and for that. And it's all going to continue until we just say that we are people. We're adults. We should just start acting like it.
Damage done by dichlorodiphenyltryptamine diminished. I don't know what that word is. What is that?
Damn it, Sean. It's dichlorodiphenyltrichloroethane. DDT.
Perfect. Perfect.
I can't believe you didn't get that.
Bald eagle spotted in Toronto, folks. Toronto, like, I'm sure he's just been waiting. Tuz has just been sitting there. I can't wait until I get to this one. In Toronto, yep. A bald eagle was spotted. A crazy thing. The Toronto and Region Conservation Authority confirmed that this is the first ever documented bald eagle nest in Toronto.
Nature is healing.
Yes.
Yeah, and I mean, it's pretty cool. The interesting thing, though, I don't know if you read the comments on it or not, but everyone, like, because I guess this guy's audience is primarily Toronto, and there's so many comments that were like, don't tell us where it is because people are going to fuck with it. Don't tell us where it is or people are going to ruin it. And I had the exact same look that you're giving me right now, which is like, what? Why? Why would you even think of that? And that's the thing, man. Like, as much as we like to say it's all one big Canada, there are certain parts of this country that don't even think the same as other people.
I was also thinking, I don't know if I want to mess with a bald eagle. Like, I mean, I might send that dummy up there to try. You wouldn't go mess with it? You have fun, buddy. Because that is one big, mean bird. I ain't touching that.
You're going to beak that, it'll beak back.
Climate change surcharge surprises solicitors. Goodfellas Wood Oven Pizza has 7 locations across the Greater Toronto area, and it's now adding a 2% carbon fee onto all orders. At the bottom of its receipts, the chain shares the reasoning for the charge, saying in part, "What we eat fuels climate change. Adding 2% to every restaurant bill to invest in carbon capture will help offset our carbon footprint." Lovely.
Bullshit.
Just heartwarming.
Every cow you eat is one that doesn't fart. We're saving the world by eating steak, Sean.
We certainly are.
And this is funny. There was, are you going to talk about the Australia one?
Sure. I'll bring it up. I'll bring it up here. Give me a sec here. This is the one from a few years back. It says a lesbian owned vegan coffee shop in Brunswick, Australia, that made international headlines in 2017 for charging a voluntary 18% man tax will close its doors for good on Sunday after less than 2 years in business. They were trying to. Yeah, it was a space only for women. Right. So they were charging men 18% tax.
So. I feel like, I don't know, 2% is a lot less than 18%.
True.
But at the same time, if you're going to just add bullshit fees on top of your prices already to try and promote whatever social cause you're going for, there's a bit of a track record. There was another one in New York as well that did the same thing and went under. And if you're going to do that, be prepared to go into receivership.
The water goes on the outside of the boat, idiot. Oh, man, the shipbuilding in Canada, this is just an ongoing debacle.
Yeah.
Okay, if you can see this.
We've talked about this multiple times.
Multiple times. Okay, what the picture I'm showing is inside the boat, and what you're seeing is seawater all inside flooding it, okay? The problem resulted in an incident on board the HMCS Harry DeWolf that saw severe flooding and the creation of a salty sauna environment that led to excessive corrosion. To deal with the flooding, holes have been cut in the side plating of the AOPS to allow the water to drain. In another incident, the HMCS Harry DeWolf proceeded to weigh an anchor, but only part of the anchor came up from the seabed. The flukes of the anchor, the pointed parts that dig in the sea bottom, broke off and couldn't be recovered, sailors noted. I should remind the audience, we got 6 boats for $5 billion.
Yeah, and they I should also remind the audience that cutting holes in a boat for water drainage is at best a short-term solution.
It's so sad. It's funny too. Like I can read off this whole article because it's just debacle after debacle.
Yeah. This is Irvine Shipyard. They basically just have the run of St. John.
Burn them all.
Hey, what else do you say about this, man?
Okay. So the first I saw this was QDM had it on Twitter. And then I was like, do I want to read this? I'm going to go read it. And this is what it says. A provincially appointed supervisor assigned to monitoring a high-risk sex offender in Kelowna sat in the car outside an equestrian center for 2.5 hours while an 11-year-old girl was victimized by Taylor Duick, BC United MLA Renee Merrifield, alleged Tuesday. Duick was released on... Just to give who he is, Duick was released on probation last June after completing a 12-month provincial sentence for sexually touching a 10-year-old child. That offense happened in 2020, less than 2 months after Duick's release following a 4.5-year federal sentence for sexual assault and sexual assault with a weapon. Burnham is right.
Yeah, so burn them all, burn him, but also he wasn't allowed to go anywhere that kids were. And parole officer, supervisor type person
allowed him around kids.
Dude. Went to this equestrian center and said he's developmentally stunted. Can he do some basic riding lessons with the kids? And she said, okay, sure. They didn't mention the fact that he was a fucking sex criminal, a pedophile. And so This guy, who's supposed to supervise him, hung out in the car for 2.5 hours while this dude chases down some little girl in a fucking bathroom. So, yeah, he's pretty fucking bad. But the system and everybody involved in it up to that point, to be clear, not from what I understand, not the equestrian center, not the arena, but the government people who allowed this to happen and the supervisor who's there to make sure that he doesn't do this exact literal fucking thing, sat in the car the whole time. Get the fuck out of here, man.
I don't know how many times I can do the gun cock. Yeah. It makes my skin crawl. Toronto Star thinks black people are stupid. Okay, so Toronto Star article, obviously. According to a BBC Panorama investigation this week, the latest assault on reality comes from MAGA cultists sharing doctored images of Donald Trump. The pics making the rounds this week are more about race. BBC Panorama discovered dozens of deepfakes portraying black people as supporting the former president. Basically, if you stumble upon footage in which the former president is making sense, being reasonable, not lying, or sounding smart, that video is a fake. AI is so powerful, it is tricking voters into believing Trump loves black people. AI is only going to hurl them down or hurl them further into an outer orbit of make-believe where up is down, right is left, and Donald Trump loves black people. This is a Toronto Star article.
What do you think the Hodge twins think of that? Right? You know, those ripped black dudes who are pretty funny, did some stuff with Steven Crowder back in the day, who have been very pro-Trump for a very long time. Are they just AI? Like, just to assume that, oh, well, if you're black, you're obviously going to vote for Biden. Biden tried that and it didn't go over well for him. But this whole, like, if you're a certain race, you need to think a certain way, act a certain way, and vote a certain way. That's the real fucking racism, man.
Canada continues to pay for Chinese overreach. The federal government has reached a multi-million-dollar settlement with Michael Spavor to compensate him for the nearly 3 years he was incarcerated under harsh conditions in a Chinese prison. Him and the other Michael were arrested and charged with espionage in December 2018, shortly after Canada detained... why can't I say that word, too? Is it Hawaii? What was the... Senior executive Meng was on a U.S. extradition warrant. They were freed from Chinese jails in September 2021 after the U.S. government worked out a legal deal with Ms. Meng. You remember the lady that got busted out in Vancouver? I can't.
Yeah, because she was a spy and she was landing in Canadian airs. Like, she was landing to refuel. And the U.S. reached out to her, to Canada, and said, hey, there's a spy that's going to be landing on the plane. Can you just detain them? And Canada said, well, you guys are our allies. You're good friends with us. Yeah, if there's a fucking spy, yeah, we'll hold her for you. And they did. And then all of a sudden, China was like, oh, entirely, we'd like you to give her up. And they said, no, we can't do that. And they said, okay, on a completely unrelated note, we're going to arrest these two guys named Michael. And then they held them in a prison for like 757 days or some stupid shit like that. And then when they finally got out, they came back over here and have been worryingly silent about the whole thing. I wonder if maybe this had something to do with it, though.
They're both getting paid off. They're both getting paid off by the government.
Yeah. But
the article says $6 million.
Why the fuck are we paying them? We're not the ones who kidnapped them. We're not the ones who put them in a jail for 2 years. Why the fuck is the Canadian government paying for something China did? Did you see that clip about Rob Schneider where he was talking about reparations in California? And he's like, people who were never slaves are getting paid by people who have never owned slaves in a state that never had slavery. And he's like, it's like paying child support to a woman you've never even fucked. And this is literally that. These are like the two people in Canada that have been fucked the least by the government, directly anyway, are these guys. But they got fucked pretty bad by the Chinese government. Why is Xi Jinping not the person paying?
Because he ain't gonna pay anything.
Yeah,
he ain't paying anything.
Why? Why is Canada? Why did Canada feel like they should pay this?
I don't know. That's a good question. Just for Laughs strayed too far. The 2024 Just for Laughs Comedy Festival has been canceled as the Montreal company behind it tries to avoid bankruptcy. Unfortunately, the 2024 edition of Just for Laughs Festival will not take place, at least not at the same time and in the same form as it customarily has, a statement from the company states. Once the restructuring is completed, we hope that the festival will take place in 2025.
So, I don't know if you know anybody who's done anything in the comedy scene in Canada lately, but Just for Laughs has been this absolute woke disaster where they've gone out of their way to just get the right people rather than the funny people. Here's a perfect example where they've actually had Margaret Trudeau on there multiple times. Now, Margaret Trudeau is known for a lot of things.
I don't know if being funny is one of them, Tuz.
Being funny is not one of them.
It's a sad day for Just for Laughs. There's been a lot of talent that's gone through there.
Yeah, but they've just become something horrible, right? Where it's just like, okay, well, we need, this many people of this color and that many people of that color and that many people of another color. And for years, it has not been at all who's funny. And
I agree. I mean, yeah, I agree. There's a lot of funny people out there that are talking against what's going on right now, and they're not being given the time of day.
Yeah.
And as soon as you don't allow what's funny to have its time, you're no longer funny. Like, you're no longer on the edge.
Exactly. And that's
holy dino. I was in the mood today. 56 minutes. We're cooking.
Ooh, yeah, although, kept it tight.
Although we missed this one. Are we going to talk about this?
Oh, yeah. How did we not?
Is there no headline for that?
I thought I had a headline for that. Maybe I missed it. Okay.
We got one more, folks. We got one more. Everybody, hold on. Hold on.
Bonus round.
Bonus round. Here we go. Do we got a headline? No headline?
Well, you start talking. I'll see if there's a headline. There's like 30 fucking headlines here, Sean.
Okay. The tweet reads, "Where's all those Ottawa convoy haters that don't like noise and disruption in their cities?" Of course, this was the protest here, and I'm going to just play some of the noise so you can hear it.
Of course, they're running smoke flares right now, too.
I think you get the point.
Yeah.
So a giant protest in Ottawa here this past week.
Yeah, not exactly the quiet, friendly thing that the convoy was. And yet, for some reason, it gets a pass.
Convoy was pretty extreme, All those peaceful protesters.
Hot tubs.
Bouncy castles, yes.
They were probably just mad about the carbon footprint, all that boiling water.
All right, mashup 97, the Connor McDavid, sorry Flames fans, in the books.
Teak it in.
And, we got some community notes. We should do community notes first. Here, let's throw up right here. Dust was on last year when he did it last year. This is mm-hmm. the Clunker Dunker. You can go to clunkerdunker.com. And if you guess the right time or closest to, mm-hmm. go Flames. Come on, Chad Peacock. Sounds like a Flames fan name. I'm not going to lie.
Chad. Dust- Well done, buddy.
If you're closest to the time when their vehicle goes through the water, you can win some money. And then of course on March 23rd, they have ice mini golf. I tell you what, with the weather we're having twos, it might be puddle jumping.
It might
out
be
there.
Tonight.
Yeah. Like burgers, polar plunges. They got a whole bunch
buy
of stuff.
Buy your tickets now.
Yeah. Go to clunkerdunker.com. To find out more information about that, you have the 12th annual PBR in Marwane, April 12th. They got June 22nd, Aaron Goodwin and Garrett Gregory. You got May 11th, Walk and Run fundraiser in Turtleford. That's Mackenzie Bloom. All proceeds going to MS Society. If you're looking for details on that, you can get a hold of her, 639-844-7101. And we have this thing called the SNP Presents the Cornerstone Forum coming April 27th to Lloydminster. So if you're looking for some info on that And well, you can go to any of my social media. It's sitting there and find out a heck of a lot more there. What else, Tews, am I missing? I added in.
We got the Erskine Curling Rink, and they've got a lot of events coming up. But most recently, they've got their men's Bonspiel going on like all week this week. So Wednesday night's their wing night. Thursday's pizza night. Friday is fried chicken salad and buns. Saturday's roast beef supper. They got raffle prizes all week, including a 22 smoker, new windshields, tickets to music festival. They got a silent auction. So yeah, it's just outside of Stettler, and they put on a lot of big events that bring, like, it's a week long Bonspiel, Sean, in a hamlet of like 300 people. How cool Perfect. Is that?
That's cool. You know what I'm upset about? April 27th. Yeah. So
yes,
Drum Heller is going to break or try and break the Guinness Book of World Records for the largest inflatable dinosaur costume. So if
the
you
one
remember,
that Dundurn did last year, that
remember
we
me and
Tuz
all, and then I finally Matt, got it sent to me, met. And I'm like, it cannot be on the same day. It's on the same day.
Same day as the S&P presents. So,
and here's what I was talking about. Here's what's coming. Luongo, Craner. I just confirmed Mikel Thorup, Curtis Stone, Chris Sims, Chuck Prodnick, and we're gonna have virtually Martin Armstrong there. So that's Saturday, April 27th, and you can go to showpass.com/cornerstone if
and
you want to get
I,
on.
So
222 minutes is going to be in attendance. If that yes. sways you one way or another, if you're like, I don't want any part of that, we can just stick them in the back rooms. No big deal.
Yeah. Folks. I mean, you don't have to, I don't have to bug you, I guess, if you don't want to talk to me. Also, funny thing about Curtis Stone. So, you know how, if you just got Spotify on and you're not keeping track of what's up next, it'll just randomly pick some damn thing. And I had missed the Curtis Stone interview you did with him the first time around. And just a few days ago, it just, that whatever I was listening to before finished. And then it went onto that. And I was like, oh, hey, yeah, this is good. Listen. That guy's got a lot of cool stuff to say.
Yeah, he does. And he's going to
really
be
approachable.
So if you're interested in buying a table at it, you can sit with the speakers, right? So the first one was Alex Craner sold, then Luongo, then Curtis Stone. And I was like, oh, wow. Like and those folks are going to have a day because it's a full day. You get to sit mm-hmm. with them for a full yep. day. So you're going to get to pick their brains. So you still got Chris Sims, Chuck Prodnick, 222 minutes has thrown his
yeah,
name in the mix.
If you're interested in, you can come
so,
sit with me.
It'd be interesting. Now, I'm getting some, Marty Bowes. Hey, sounds like an Oiler coach name, actually. Chad Peacock.
Yeah, and then Marty was talking about how many people are listening to it live on Facebook.
Well, yeah, the algorithm finally let us loose or something,
yeah.
you know?
Well, yeah, and I mean, like, there's, you know, we've got more people listening on X than ever. You know, we really should start caring more about YouTube. But our viewership on YouTube is like tripled. There's like three people watching.
Well, it's funny on this side too, and you know this, when it comes to anything I've done in the last, since the Freedom Convoy, everything's been, it has been like, I don't know, terrible viewership. Like it just, a post goes nowhere. And so every once in a while you break out, you go like, where the heck did that come from?
Yeah.
And tonight, 97, the Connor McDavid, they were happy to see me back, or everybody was looking forward to Vince Crotee being back in the seat, and they're all
Ooh,
disappointed
that's,
leaving.
That's
you know?
Why the numbers are up. It's
possibly
the Vince Crotee. Yep.
Yep. Yeah. They heard he was on, and they were hoping he'd be back. Well, we'll see what we can do. We'll get him back on guest host again.
Of course
I think
he's going to be back on sometime.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. All right, folks. That's going to do it for us. Mashup 97 in the books. Tews, any final
Thanks
thoughts?
Thanks a lot, Sean. No, this is basically it. I don't know. What do you guys think? Should we keep surprising Sean with the headlines?
Ooh, yeah. In the comments, if you like that for the morning when it yep. comes out on the podcast, if you like that, shoot me a text and yep. and we'll see. I'm not going to lie. I didn't mind it.
I have one final thought, though, Sean. Mm. Dichlorodiphenyl trichloroethane DDT.
Yeah, I know what DDT is. I get it. I just didn't realize that's how, it doesn't matter. What a word. What a word. What a maroon. All right. We'll talk to you guys later.
Thanks, guys. Bye.